Welcome to the Covenant of Peace radio broadcast, the teaching ministry of Pastor Blair Bradley. This program is dedicated to bringing you the glorious truth of God's Word, one verse at a time.
A mighty fortress is our God.
We are living in powerful days, and we are seeing tremendous changes in our lives, our culture, our nation, and in the church. So now more than ever, we have a great need to exercise spiritual discernment and to know what the Bible teaches about the important issues that we all face today. So let's join Pastor Blair as he continues our study on the Word of God.
Welcome again, my beloved in Jesus Christ. We're continuing our verse-by-verse journey through the Epistle of Jude, and today we want to continue to look at what Jude taught about the characteristics of the heretic. So let's open our Bibles and read verses 12 and 13 of Jude again together. These are the men who are hidden reefs in your love feasts when they feast with you without fear, caring for themselves. Clouds without water, carried along by winds, autumn trees without fruit, doubly dead, uprooted, wild waves of the sea, casting up their own shame like foam, wandering stars for whom the black darkness has been reserved forever. Now, today I want us to look at the second of the five characteristics of the people who come into the Church of Jesus to bring in false teaching and deceive the sheep. Right after saying that these men were like hidden reefs, laying just under the surface of the love feast, waiting to make shipwreck to the unsuspecting souls of believers, Jude said that the heretics were like clouds without water, carried along by winds. Now, the very purpose of clouds is to accumulate precipitation, and then as the moisture builds up, the cloud pours rain into the earth. That is the normal function of clouds. Rain is the normal anticipation of clouds. So a cloud without water is a cloud that does not produce what is normally anticipated from it. A cloud without rain, it is an anomaly. It is strange. It is not normal. Heretics promise so much and yet deliver so little. It is their legacy to produce no rain. It is their testimony not to produce what is expected or anticipated of them. By definition, heretics are not really saved people, and thus they have no life-giving power. They have no ability to actually produce life in someone who is dead. They promise life, they promise prosperity, they promise peace, they promise blessings, they promise physical healings, they promise great and mighty and good and wonderful things, but they seldom actually produce anything of any lasting value. A heretic can give you a long, drawn-out prophecy, but no actual spiritual holiness will ever come from it. A heretic can show you detailed secrets of prayer or elaborate writings pertaining to healing and prosperity, but no godly fruit will ever come from it. You may make a lot of money by listening to their carnal and sensual words, but you will never find yourself in right standing with God by following the heretics. Listen to the wisdom that God gave to Solomon about this very subject in Proverbs 25, verse 14. Like clouds and wind without rain is a man who boasts of his gifts falsely. Now, when Jude used the term without water in verse 12, he was using the very same term that Jesus used to describe demon spirits over in Matthew 12, 43 through 45. Now, when the unclean spirit goes out of a man, it passes through waterless places, seeking rest and does not find it. Then it says, I will return to my house from which I came, and when it comes, it finds it unoccupied, swept, and put in order. Then it goes and takes along with it seven other spirits, more wicked than itself, and they go in and live there, and the last state of that man becomes worse than the first. Now, the term anduros is translated here and over in Luke 11 as waterless places. So Jude was equating this dryness or this lack of rain in the heretics in a spiritual context and not in a natural way. When Jesus used this same term, our Lord was referring to the longing of the evil or unclean spirit to find a human being to inhabit. So when a demon spirit is dry or goes through what Jesus refers to as waterless places, that is the condition that the demon is as he wanders throughout the earth seeking a body to inhabit. A demon spirit is not nearly as effective unless he is inhabiting a human being. So when he is cast out of the individual, he goes to anduros, or waterless places, seeking his rest, or in other words, seeking another vessel to inhabit. Now the good news is that those who are genuinely saved cannot be demon-possessed. Saved people are forever sealed with the Holy Spirit that was promised, and they cannot be possessed of devils. But everybody who goes to church and lays claim to being saved is not truly saved. So those who attend the church and yet are not truly saved, those who live moral lives but are not born again, those who sing in the choir but do not have the new nature, those who are nice people and good guys yet have not received the miracle of the new birth, all of these people are subject to being possessed by demon spirits. It is no coincidence, dear friends, that Hollywood has produced all of the vampire and occult movies in the last several years. Demon spirits, witches, monsters of all evil sorts, all assist to prepare foolish and undiscerning people to be inhabited by evil spirits. Now, I'm not saying that watching a movie like that will make you possessed. What I am saying is that the more you feed on evil, the more you watch wickedness, the more you choose the occult as your choice of entertainment, you are playing with fire, and sooner or later you're going to get burned. It isn't cute or funny or to watch Christians pay good money that God has blessed them with and give it to the devil who is promoting things that they say they don't believe in. Why would anyone who loves Jesus do that? Why give your money to people who hate your God so you can look at things you don't agree with? Why contribute to make your enemies rich and powerful? What is inside a Christian heart that would make them satisfied watching vampires suck blood out of people and watch wickedness personified and watch little children learn how to cast spells and perform witchcraft? What goes through the mind of a believer when they watch demon powers unleashed and devour people and watch seances and listen to the precious and holy name of God being taken in vain and blasphemed? Why would any genuine believer laugh at a joke that contains filth? Why would any follower of Jesus pay money to watch someone commit adultery or to take drugs or promote sin? You are naive to think that this stuff does not affect you. It does affect you. It makes sin look attractive. It promotes wickedness. It motivates you to nod your head and agree with something or laugh at something that the Bible says is sin. Now, as it pertains to casting out devils, it does absolutely no good at all to try to cast a spirit out of someone unless that person gets saved. In fact, it may well hurt them. Without salvation, being set free for a couple of days from some evil is only going to make the latter end of that person worse than the first. When the demon spirit sees that the house of that unsaved person has been swept clean, at least on the outside, Jesus said that demon will go and get seven more demons just like him, and they'll all go into that person. And the words of our Lord should ring in our ears, the last state of that man becomes worse than the first. You see, the problem with many people today, dear friends, is that they know too much. Jesus said it would have been better that you were never born than to live on this earth and not be saved. People know the right way of God, yet they choose their own way. But understand that there is a day of calamity coming for you. Let's read Proverbs 1:22-33. How long, O naive ones, will you love being simple-minded? And scoffers delight themselves in scoffing, and fools hate knowledge. Turn to my reproof. Behold, I will pour out my spirit on you. I will make my words known to you. Because I called and you refused, I stretched out my hand and no one paid attention, and you neglected all my counsel and did not want my reproof. I will also laugh at your calamity. I will mock when your dread comes. When your dread comes like a storm and your calamity comes like a whirlwind, when distresses and anguish come upon you, then they will call on me, but I will not answer. They will seek me diligently, but they will not find me, because they hated knowledge and did not choose the fear of the Lord. They would not accept my counsel. They spurned all my reproof. So they shall eat of the fruit of their own way and be satiated with their own devices. For their waywardness of the naive will kill them, and the complacency of fools will destroy them. But he who listens to me shall live securely and will be at ease from the dread of evil. I want to remind all of us that according to the Bible, God, not the devil, God, raised up the nation of Assyria to plague Israel because Israel turned from following the Lord. The Assyrians invaded Israel and raided their towns and killed their people, took over their cities, stole their crops, occupied their homes, drank from their wells, took their women, raised their children to be pagans, and cost the nation of Israel much money, much sorrow, much grief, and terrible problems, all because the people who knew God would not serve God, all because God's people were sinning and enjoying it, all because God's people were following after soothsayers and necromancers and fortune tellers and were worshiping other gods and bowing before other altars, giving their money to false teachers and were living lives of wantonness and wickedness. They had become dry. They had become clouds without water, a nation without God, a people without a head, a generation that was aimless and lost. They had lost their life and their power and their spirit and their glory, and they were now wandering through waterless places. So God used pagan nations. God used evil things. God used horrible events to bring Israel back to her first love, back to the altar, back into right relationship with Him. And this is called remedial judgment. Remedial judgment is a judgment from God, and it's bad, but it is remedial. God uses this type of judgment on His own people in order to wake them up. He brings about things that forces us to see ourselves for the express purpose of making our sin and wickedness clear in our own eyes, so that we may be broken, so that we may humble ourselves, so that we may repent and return to Him. So in actuality, remedial judgment is the mercy of God at work. And as Israel continued to rebel, the remedial judgments increased. The more wicked the people of God became and the further from the truth they wandered, the more God squeezed them. This is all done because it is more important to God that His people are right with Him than it is that they are safe. It is more important to God that His people are in correct standing with Him than it is that they prosper, or that they have nice things, or that they are protected, or even that they have a country or a land or cities or anything else. It is more important to God that we are holy than that we are happy. When God squeezed Israel, the Bible says they cried out to the Lord. But listen to the Lord's response in Judges 10:14. Go and cry out to the gods which you have chosen. Let them deliver you in the time of your distress. You see, God is willing to do whatever it takes so that His people are where He wants them to be. And most who hear this would agree that God did indeed do this with Israel. But dear friends, we must come to the same conclusion about our own nation, about our own church, and about ourselves as well. It is God, not the devil, that is squeezing this country for the very same reason that He squeezed Israel, so that His people will get to where they are supposed to be. And I tell you that the squeeze will not stop unless God's people, which are called by His name, will humble themselves and pray and seek God's face and turn from their wicked ways. I tell you that God has raised up enemies of this nation, and God is squeezing this nation because of the tens of millions of babies that have been ripped out of their mother's wombs, because of the perverted lives that we live, because of the pride and the arrogance of the American spirit, because we trust in gold and silver and not in God, because we trust in our military might to protect us when we don't serve God. Beloved, now is the time to get some water. Now is the time to return to our first love. Now is the time to repent and to follow Jesus and to no longer be dry and to live for God. And now is the time to earnestly contend for the faith that was once and for all delivered to the saints. Well, I've got to stop right here, but please join me on the next broadcast as we continue our journey through the Epistle of Jude. May God help us all.
Dear friends, if this radio broadcast of line upon line, precept upon precept teaching of God's holy word is a blessing to you, will you prayerfully consider supporting us financially? We want to increase our exposure here on the Gulf Coast through more radio stations and through the internet. Would you pray about coming alongside of us and help us do that to God's glory? For further information about how you can partner with us in seeing the gospel triumph in our area, or to receive a copy of today's broadcast, go to our website, www.covenantofpeace.net. Until next time, May the peace of God keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus.